It's gone 10 past 2 o'clock on the Full Circle with myself, Bridget Masinger, as anticipated by Spahle Mota. That appearance by Julius Mkhwanazi is currently happening live, facing charges related to the Ekurhuleni Metro Police Department corruption. I'm not too sure which courthouse or court district he's appearing at, but I am seeing the visuals coming out of SABC News. Shifting a focus a little bit today because it's Monday and we look at work and professional based conversations. We're looking at dealing with personal trauma in the workplace, and we're going to be in conversation with Angela Day, clinical psychologist and psychotherapist. And you might have experienced a loss due to death or strain caused by personal relationships, or perhaps you're dealing with a health diagnosis. And how does this begin to impact the way that you show up in your day-to-day duties at work? And how do you manage and cope whilst meeting your target goals? Good afternoon to you, Angela. Thank you so much for gracing us with your time. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. And thanks for having me, and looking forward to delivering some information to your listeners.
Awesome stuff. Much appreciated. I guess firstly, what we all perceive as trauma or traumatic ranges from person to person. How would we define, what is trauma for an individual, or what is trauma when it comes to relation of the professional setting?
Well, let's look at trauma as an emotional and a psychological response to any event that actually is serious enough that it creates a space within you that you feel overwhelmed and that you feel that you aren't able to cope. You know, you have a lot of difficulty coping. And it's not just about what happens, but how it impacts literally your nervous system. Mm. So this could be anything as simple as an incident, you know, from having an assault, like, and any of those other things that you discussed. But I think I have a really good example that your listeners can consider, right? So imagine that your smartphone has been dropped. Mm. Everybody knows the terror of dropping your smartphone. And so the screen, it actually looks like it's mostly fine, but there is one deep crack that runs right through it. Mm. So on the surface, it still looks like all the apps open, everything, you know, your calls come through, everything connects, and it does the job. But there's that crack. Mm. So it makes the screen harder to actually read in sunlight, and it's likely to shatter if anything actually bumps it, or if it still remains very sensitive. Mm. So this is what trauma is like. So the person isn't broken, they're still functioning, but the internal cracks that literally have happened within changes how that person navigates stress, pressure, and all these expected things that they're meant to do. Mm. So just like, you know, the phone, healing really isn't about hiding the cracks, but creating a space where we can actually work on it and have the cracks not keep spreading. That's what we're really trying to do.
Mm. Yeah. I like that analogy, and I think we'll double back to it in a moment, because it also speaks to those individuals who can be high functioning despite what they're going through. You get, for instance, high, and I don't know if I use the right terminology in this example, but like high functioning depressive individuals who going through depression but are still moving at that level that is considered as, well, no, they're fine, but they're going through so much, on any given day. How does loss and traumatic experience affect an individual in the workplace, given also just the unique pressures and the unique triggers that come with having to show up and be present and engaged at work?
Well, especially in the workplace, you know, mm. trauma can quietly erode one's performance and well-being. and do it in a very quiet way. So while you appear to be functioning, there is still an erosion happening because you're split between the resources that you have emotionally to be able to focus and show up. So someone might be struggling with, for instance, their focus. They might miss deadlines. They might withdraw from team infrastructure meetings and interactions. Or, often seen, usually they might be irritable, a different way of showing up than they normally are. So these people might also experience a sense of fatigue, insomnia, or emotional outbursts because they're not sleeping, and they're emotionally dysregulated because many people mask what's going on inside of them, and they appear professional, but the impact is often very unseen and it goes deep. Yeah, and this literally can lead to absenteeism, people feeling pressured and, being at work but not really fully functioning and present. And then that's when burnout occurs over time.
What should we be looking out for as colleagues? What should we be looking out for from folks that are going through a traumatic moment, that are experiencing a sort of life-shifting event, an occasion? And also double to that, then what becomes the interventions or the considerations for us? How do we become a safe space?
Well, what we want to look out for, some of the changes are things like memory lapses and decision fatigue and sometimes frequent absences, task avoidance, or sudden emotional outbursts and reactions. So employers don't need to literally diagnose anybody, but they can create a safety for people to start their healing process in. So some of the key steps that I would offer that people can do is offer access to confidential counseling. That's important, like through your employee wellness program. And train managers. This is really important. Train managers in trauma-informed care. Allow things like flexible scheduling and foster really within your organization a culture where people feel safe and they feel safe to speak up. Without fear of stigma, without fear of career responses. I deal with that a lot. People really feel like they need to hold back and hide because their careers are going to be affected. They might be seen as weaker or not up to standard.
And I mean, the latter is so unfortunate, right? Because it speaks broadly to conversations around office culture, healthy office cultures, and you want to be able to know that your people feel a sense of safety in coming to somebody when they are at their most vulnerable and most raw moments. It doesn't have to be everybody, as you say, spaces of confidential counseling, leaders that are acutely aware of how to spot that Bridget is acting out of sorts and has been out of character for a little while. Maybe let me proactively sit down and find out, is everything okay? And then we can take it from there.
The reality is, all of us are susceptible to these moments and life's stressors and the things that happen in life. So, while one is a manager, we're meant to manage people, not just processes. And human beings, their value lies in their emotional well-being. And so, as we look after that, we then create greater and better create. Productivity within our organizations. And that's so important. So, if somebody is still bottom line driven, be bottom line about being humans and treating humans with respect and care and providing safe spaces for them.
To your point around, folks might feel uncomfortable or feel like they get disadvantaged if they share what they're going through at any given moment. Would you, I mean, what advice would you give there for persons that are listening to us, experiencing some kind of trauma event or coming out of the tail end of a trauma event? How do they figure out who to go to? Who do I talk to? Who becomes that person, whether colleague or manager?
Well, that literally depends, you
Mm.
know, and it's a very deeply impersonal decision. And sharing can be healing and it can help someone access support, but it's only safe in environments where there's trust, there is confidentiality, and there's clear boundaries. So if you choose to share, be clear about what you actually need, whether it's flexibility, understanding, or just to be heard. For leaders, if someone trusts you with their story, respond with empathy. So important. Protect their privacy and connect with them in a way that helps them possibly with sharing resources. But the most important thing is not to judge. Holding space can also be really important. And sometimes you find people just feel a sense of relief because they've been holding it back, very afraid. And that space, that non-judgmental space in and of itself, can provide the healing that people need.
I did say I wanted to double back to high performing individuals. And I'm not talking here, the overachievers in the sense of trying to get that promotion, trying to get to the next level, but people who literally show up to work and switch that switch on in those hours between 8 to 4, 8 to 5, however the workday is structured. And they can be focused, they can be present of mind and body and everything else, and somehow manage to compartmentalize the emotional turmoil. How do we begin to, and I don't know if that's a good or it's a bad, and how do we begin to deal with it? Does it speak to suppressing and not dealing with what's happening at the moment? I'm not sure on how many layers and tiers we're speaking about.
I think there's a healthy level of compartmentalization that all of us experience in our lives. But when we're specifically speaking of trauma, trauma is something that requires processing. And throughout our lifetimes, people can experience various things that we consider trauma. But there does come a point where the bottle pops. And we are very much trying not to get ourselves to the point where the bottle pops. And it won't pop if people seek support, whether it is through a psychologist, your employee wellness program, like I said, if it's built into your organization, where people are consistently practicing these spaces of processing. We need to become friends with our emotions. Emotions are 100% there to guide us, to support us, to let us know what we are experiencing. And people tend to divide them into positive emotions and negative emotions. And they say we're not supposed to feel negative emotions. And that's toxic positivity. All emotions are there for us to feel. And as we continue to feel them, make friends with them, use them to communicate with ourselves, the chances of something being bottled up and being an emotion that we no longer process, which then leads to trauma, is less likely.
You know, as we're talking, I'm just thinking. And I think this conversation has come up at some point. This expectation that we have as society that a person could lose a significant other, in the instance of death, for instance, you lose a significant other, a spouse, a child, a parent, a sibling, a friend, and you are almost expected to be back at work and functioning within a week. The funeral gets done, the services get done on the weekends in just South African how we do things, and by Monday, Tuesday, you expect it to be at work. And I wonder if there's room there perhaps for organizations in the interrogation of organizational culture and policy to start looking at things a little bit different and start being a little bit more considered in times like that.
And I think that there's an integration to be had. I understand the bottom line productivity that needs to happen. But there needs to be an integration and a respect for emotional health to be able to truly deliver. And if that is built into the organization, if employee wellness programs are truly allowed to do what they are meant to do and realize the benefits of how much money is going into these programs and allow employees to interface with these programs without stigma, but maybe some level of even enthusiasm. I know that I was talking to somebody recently, and one organization did things like they invited a belly dancer to come around. They're a health organization, and I think they work with vitamins, and they're making the environment fun, helping people learn different ways of processing their stress. But again, trauma goes beyond stress. Trauma literally is something that has happened to you and that you do not have the skills, or you feel overwhelmed, and thus maybe you compartmentalize, or maybe you literally go on your way to burnout. Either way, it's absolutely unhealthy. And the listening public, as well as the managers of companies, need to have a realistic view on how we are human beings and how we show up. So it takes so much to retrain somebody. It takes a lot of resources to retrain somebody. Much easier to actually invest in the person as they're working, giving them skills, and letting them process these very difficult emotions and feelings, that if maybe you only have a week off and you are experiencing difficulty, a space where people are encouraged to reach out and meet with professionals, meet with groups, meet with someone who has the background and the insights to be able to support them.
Angela Day, we'll leave it there for this afternoon, but I think you've given us a lot to chew on. That was clinical psychologist and psychotherapist Angela Day there, helping us deal with personal trauma in the workplace.